You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, Valentine's stories up the wazoo. And we have experts. One will teach you how to get over your ex, and a couple who say you can make every day of the year a juicy Valentine's Day. Their word, not mine. Robocall Slayer, Aaron Foss, joins us live to show you how to block all robocalls. Can you believe it? And Manny the Movie Guy reviews your Valentine's Day weekend movies. In the studio with me today is a guy who'd love to put you in his Valentine's queue. It's Chris Martin.
If you're a Netflix subscriber and you care about your personal information, you're going to want to hear this.
If you listen to this show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show when you do that because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not embraced in a Valentine's hug and kiss, they do read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews, and it helps the show. It really does. Thank you. Let's get started. Chris?
Yes, sir?
What's this about Netflix? Netflix. Have they flacked?
Netflix.
They've been net-hacked.
Slacking. Cyber criminals are stealing login credentials from Netflix accounts.
Oh, no.
Yes, this is all an attempt to steal your personal banking information.
How do I know? Okay, I'm going there now.
Monsters.
Do I know if I've been hacked by logging in?
There are ways that you can know. I'll cover those in a second, but let me tell you what's going on. The
all
security
right.
vendor Symantec, which some of us use that as our antivirus software, I believe, has discovered multiple malware campaigns. These include phishing campaigns, which will redirect you to a fake Netflix website where you're then coaxed into re-providing login credentials and payment details. So be aware of these types of things.
All right, I just logged in,
and
the browser address box still says www.netflix.com/browse. And so that's how I know it's actually that site, right?
And is one of the recommendations made by Symantec for you to ensure that you're going onto the right site. Definitely check your host, what is that called when you type it into the browser, your website?
Your URL.
The URL address, yeah. So there's a couple of different ways that these criminals are going about this. They're also downloading malware. Basically, they're using all kinds of tricks to where when you go to Netflix, they can drop Trojans into your account, they can download malware into your account.
Well,
my credit
card's in there too.
That's exactly right. But if they're not actually coaxing you into giving this information, then you're probably also on the right site after you've checked your URL.
Now, how do we fix this? If they're already in and I change my password, are they watching me change my password?
If you've logged on to their fake account.
Oh, okay.
That's how it happens. If you log on to their fake account that they put in front of you. So you just have to be careful. Check your URL. Also, there's websites and apps out there that say, hey, look, we'll give you Netflix for a reduced rate or for free, 30-day trial, those types of things, which I've used in the past. But now a lot of those are corrupt websites. Be careful. Don't use those as of right now.
Wow.
If they're offering it to you for free or at a discounted rate, because then what they do is they encourage you to change your password, re-enter your payment information, and then the next thing you know, your bank account is empty and some criminal is enjoying an offshore martini.
All right. Well, I just signed in and logged out, and I think I changed my password all while you were talking. And I think I did that at therealnetflix.com.
Yeah, I hope so, because changing your password is one of the ways
that
they get you.
I think it said Netflix.com.
Right, yeah.
That's what it said?
Netflix.org.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Symantec only has a couple of pieces of advice. They say only download Netflix applications from official sources and do not take advantage of discount or free offers.
Yeah, I got to catch up on the Oscars movies. I've only seen a couple of them so far.
I've heard many of them are good.
Yeah, and somebody's going to go up and give some, when they win, they're going to give some lengthy and boring speech when they thank everybody in the house.
Don't they do that every year?
Yeah, they do.
Well, now the Oscars are trying to limit that as best they can. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences is trying a new idea to keep producers and viewers like you and me more engaged. Oscar producers have introduced the thank you crawl.
What?
The thank you crawl, Phil.
I'd like to see that.
Yes. Well, you're going to see it. Here's the idea. When nominees want to share inspiring stories or express gratitude, hopefully they won't be cut short by endless thank yous to everyone in the audience and everyone involved in the whole filming process. Oh, instead, you'll be able to look at the bottom of the screen and say, you'll see, thanks, Mom, Dad, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, you give everybody's name.
So, oh, I get it. So it's the crawl. It's a little thing that scrolls along the bottom.
Yeah, like you see it on CNN or a lot of these news websites. You can read the information.
Well, that's
on
good
the bottom
for us, the viewer, but for the people who are being thanked, it's a little impersonal, isn't it?
Yes, that's why people, they will still give thank yous, personalized thank yous, just hopefully to less people, you know? That the ones that maybe weren't as integral to the process are the ones scrolling down at the bottom of the screen, the ones that really deserve, hey, man, you really made this happen.
Do you think on some level the Academy is saying, you know, it really isn't all that important to thank all those people?
No, I don't think so. I think that the Academy took it from a standpoint of two angles. One, the show gets boring, people tune out, and then your thank yous don't matter.
Yeah.
And two, if you forget a thank you, which a lot of these stars do, these celebrities, they feel terrible afterwards. So now you have plenty of time to write them all down.
They could nail it. And if they forget somebody in this instance, they're a real jerk.
You are really in trouble. And also one other thing, all those thank yous sometimes interrupt these celebrities from being able to get across what they think is a very empowering or heartfelt message.
Yes.
Yeah. And
right,
then the music plays and they can't finish.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, you know, if you think about it, if you look at movies from the 1950s and 60s, when like it took 10 guys to put a movie together and they show the credits, they used to, a lot of movies, they would show the credits at the beginning. And you'd see everybody that was involved in making the movie, and it was just like five or six slides of names. And it was real easy. Now, at the end, there's like a thousand people on every movie, and the credits scroll so fast that there, unless you freeze frame it, you can't see who's put the movie together.
Yeah, and by the way, Key Grip 5, he freeze frames it.
Yes.
And then he does a print screen.
I guess he does.
And then he takes it to Kinko's, turns it into a poster, and sticks it on his wall.
But they see, in some cases, they move these movies along so quickly. I mean, the credits at the end, because they've got some kind of special scene or something at the end of the credits.
Yeah, which I'm sure Manny is going to be talking about. Deadpool, which comes out this weekend, I've heard some of the reveals from that movie. One of them is stick around at the end, because they're going to keep you engaged with some information throughout the credits.
Justin Bieber says he was not reckless with his monkey. Is that all you need to know?
Was reckless with it. Didn't he leave his monkey in Germany or something?
Okay, fine. He got back in 2013, three years ago, he got a capuchin monkey, as a birthday present. He named the monkey OG Mally.
You know what OG stands for?
I forget. Tell me.
Old gangster.
Old gangster?
Yep.
Oh. Old gangster Mally, the capuchin monkey. And he took it with him on a trip to Germany. Unfortunately, Mally got seized by customs in Munich, so Justin went on his merry way, and the monkey ended up in a zoo. Everyone accused Justin of being reckless and irresponsible with his monkey. But they also said he was irresponsible with OG Mally. But he would like everyone to know that it was not the case. He admits everyone told him not to bring Mally on the trip, and he didn't listen to them, but he swears all the papers were in order, and even though he was given an opportunity to reclaim OG Mally and did not, he still digs monkeys a lot, and he might get a replacement someday.
Oh, good for him.
How do you think that makes OG Mally feel?
A lot better, and I want to take back my statement about Justin Bieber being irresponsible with the monkey, because at the end of the day, the zoo in Germany taking that monkey from him was the most responsible thing that could have happened. And I only pray that they renamed him from OG Mally to something more suitable.
Something dignified.
Yes, yes.
Now that he knows he's been Mr. Mally, we're sorry to inform you, but your old owner, Justin, is replacing you.
I'd name him Cappuccino, or Cap for short.
Cap. Cappy.
Since he's a capuchin.
Is that how you say it, or is it a capuchin? Is it capuchin or capuchin?
Capuchin. You know, they made a movie, a children's movie, or a tween movie, back in the day with a capuchin monkey. It was great.
Yeah.
They're really good actors, those capuchins.
Nice. He's a monkey. All right. In case you hadn't had enough the trivia about the Super Bowl, Chris has uncovered something that will amaze you. It is remarkable, and it could only have happened
where this particular Super Bowl took place. And it may be a glimpse into what we can expect everywhere we go to see sporting events. But you may have to wait a while for that. That's how cool this is. And you're going to hear about that and a whole lot more in our next segment here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. And we don't talk a lot of politics on the show, but when it comes to presidential candidates, a big question we need to ask is he or she ready to lead? Well, in the case of Marco Rubio, it appears he's not even ready to eat a candy bar.
Uh-oh.
Wednesday night, Marco cracked a molar on a Twix bar. Now, in his defense, it was frozen. He says, quote, "I bit into a Twix bar that I think was potentially frozen just from the cold weather or whatever, and I cracked a molar." 30 seconds later, he said, "I cracked a molar." When asked about this an hour later, he said, "I cracked a molar."
And I do believe that the Twix was frozen. It was either frozen or possibly very, very stale.
So fear not, Rubio supporters. He will soldier on, quote, "I cracked a molar." No, he said, "We're going to keep campaigning. We're not suspending our campaign over Toothgate," which is funny.
Nothing will stop us from coming in fourth in every single debate. Nothing.
He's a smart guy, but I think he needs a little more seasoning, right? He needs another 4 to 8 years under his belt. The thing is, he's out of the Senate when he finishes this campaign. He has said that he's not going to run for re-election, so he's done. In terms of political office, if he drops out of this race.
Calm down. You say in terms of political office, there's many different avenues in which one can stay involved in Washington.
Yeah, he should get on TV and be a political commentator and learn how to speak a little bit and stop repeating himself.
Yes, like Chris Christie would encourage him to do.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right.
Although neither of those guys are really doing very well.
Look at us getting all political. Yeah, Christie's out of the race, by the way. Christie, Fiorina, both dropped out.
That's right. The field is shrinking.
Yes. The world, frankly, is shrinking thanks to the internet and thanks to data. And things are getting faster and more, convenient. But it takes a Super Bowl-like effort to make things as such. And, Chris, tell us about what people enjoyed, technically speaking, at the Super Bowl 50.
Well, I'd like to pose a question to you first, Phil.
What's that?
What did you enjoy about Super Bowl 50? Did you enjoy the game? Did you enjoy the halftime show? How about Lady Gaga? What was your feeling? I mean, did you watch it?
I enjoyed Lady Gaga's anthem.
She nailed it, right?
She did nail it. She went longer than I expected.
Yeah.
What was the number? A minute 53 over under?
No, I think it was 2 minutes and 13 seconds, something like that.
Oh, she was more or less right on the mark then.
I think so, yeah.
She was at about 2:18, I think, is what she did. I loved her song. I also loved the game. It was a spectacular game, and it was exactly what I expected to happen, that the young phenom would crumble under the spotlight of the Super Bowl, and the grizzled veteran would take charge and soldier march his soldiers down the field with impunity. And that's exactly what happened. Now, as far as the halftime show, I went to I left and went to pick up some pie because I'm not a fan of Coldplay. And I've seen the other two, Beyonce and what's his name?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars. I've seen them do Super Bowl halftime shows already. So I thought, this is not for me. That Coldplay guy with his monkey dance can have his fun, and I'll go get some pie.
And they did, and it was a decent performance. It was a lot of fun to watch. I agree with you, Phil. I thought the whole game was good, and that exactly what happened was not what I expected, but what I was hoping to happen.
Want to know what kind of pie I got?
I do, yeah.
Banana cream.
Very good pie.
And peach.
Not equally good. Banana cream is better than peach, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I could eat a whole one of those.
Yeah, berry pies are my favorite, like a good raspberry. Uh-huh. What's better than raspberry is like a blackberry.
What about a strawberry pie?
Strawberry's okay. Strawberry's okay, blueberry's okay, but I like the ones with a little bit of bite to it.
Yeah?
Yeah, like a...
You like a pie that bites back.
Yeah, a blackberry pie. Huh? That's the number one. On my list, along with some vanilla.
Now, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl did set some records. It actually set or tied a bunch of records, including oldest quarterback to start and win the game, longest punt return, most sacks, fewest total yards, most fumble recoveries, and on and on. But one record that I found very interesting was that Super Bowl 50 smashed the record for the most data ever transferred over a stadium stream.
What? How much data?
Well, fans at Levi Stadium used an astounding 10.1 terabytes of data. And to give you some comparison, this is equal to 6,000 hours of continuous streaming HD video.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Man, how do they pull that off?
Well, it's funny that you ask, Phil, because I'm going to tell you how they pull that off. They pull it off with 400 miles of data cable, 12,000 physical network ports inside the stadium, 1,200 Wi-Fi access points, and over 1,200 Bluetooth beacons to help extend and amplify that signal.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. The internet inside the stadium was used for mobile experiences, watching Super Bowl commercials, ordering food and drink, which Levi Stadium is one of the few that's able to do that, and then obviously lots and lots of social media.
Hmm.
Everything that everybody wanted to share their experience.
You know, I could tell you that with 50 data points, and how many did you say they had at Levi?
They have 12,000 physical network data points.
Where the Ducks play hockey. They got a new thing there from, I think it was AT&T installed it, and they made a big deal out of there being 50 data points. And when they get 17,500 people in there, nobody can connect.
It's going to chew up that many ports quite quickly, right?
Yeah. So 12, how many?
12,000.
12,000.
Yep.
And so you
physical can, ports. Those are the ones where you can plug your data cable in.
Right. Holy cow. And then there's the wireless. And so it just spectacular. This is the way things are going to go.
Absolutely. This is the future.
Mm-hmm.
All connected through our World Wide Web.
Yeah. I love that. Mm. All right. Keep it up. Keep it up, everybody. You know who Oprah is, don't you?
Who?
Oprah Winfrey. Heard of her?
Oh, yes, I've heard of her.
She's cleaning out her old Harpo Studios in Chicago, and it could work out to your benefit because she's selling 200 articles of clothing and 20 pairs of shoes on eBay beginning March 1st.
I bet that's going to be a smashing success.
Yeah. Proceeds, and I could have guessed that this was going to happen, will benefit her school for girls in South Africa.
Very good.
And while some of the stuff is going to be hard to part with, Oprah doesn't want to get too wrapped up in possessions, she says. Her quote is, "I want to create a space that gives me access to the stuff that helps me, to things that hold a place of meaning for me, because if you can't do that, then you're not using your things. Your things are using you." I don't understand that.
Yeah.
That's
a little bit too new agey for me, Oprah.
Oprah is I mean, too many me's in there.
But she is definitely doing positive for all these girls around the world.
You know, I did things out of order. You were talking about the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, he insulted Peyton Manning's family.
What?
He insulted them.
That's rude. What'd he say?
He couldn't accept the fact that Peyton and the Broncos knocked off Tom Brady and the Pats on their way to the Super Bowl. So he had to get a shot in. And although, to be honest, as shots go, it was a pretty good one that took down the whole Manning family. He said, quote, "I happened to see Archie Manning at the Super Bowl. He has two sons who have won two Super Bowls each. But with all due respect, we have one son who has won four." Actually, Kraft, you have four sons. You have won a total of zero Super Bowls, so don't be a tool. But anyway, that's what he said.
Well, that's not much of a shot across the bow.
No.
I mean, that's just saying, hey, Tom Brady's as good as both your boys combined.
Yeah. Valentine's Day weekend, I have a list of the 10 anti-Valentine's Day songs. You want to hear them?
Oh, yeah. Love Stinks better be on the list.
Number 10 is Goodbye Earl by the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, yeah, that song's brutal.
Number 9 is Love Hurts by Nazareth. Number 8, Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Yeah, she beats up the truck real good, doesn't she?
Not as bad as the Dixie Chicks beat up Earl.
Okay. Number 7 is Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Number 6, I Love It by Iconopop. Don't know that one.
She smashed her car into the bridge.
Oh.
I love it.
Number 5 is Talk Show Host by Radiohead. 4, I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Number 3, Single Ladies by Beyonce. 2, You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette. Oh, you don't want to date that chick. And number 1, These Boots Are Made for Walking, Nancy Sinatra.
And that's just what they'll do.
Yeah. No, what was the one you wanted?
Love Stinks, remember, from The Wedding Singer?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not an anti-val, because if you're doing it right. So, will you please just get over him or her? It's over. When are you going to realize it's over? It's been over for months. Why are you still calling and texting and Snapchatting and all those things you do? Can you just get a life and move on? Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby joins us to talk about ex-aholics. Are you one of those? That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. McDonald's, you've heard of them, right? They sell 23% of their Filet-O-Fish sandwiches for the whole year during Lent, which is where we are right now, because people avoid all kinds of meat during Lent. That's around 69 million Filet-O-Fishes in 40 days.
Mmm, tasty. Filet-O-Fish isn't bad, actually.
Yeah, and they put them on sale for this period of time. And I'll tell you, I can chow about 4 of those in one sitting.
Do you ask them to cut down on the amount of mayonnaise they put on it, or you just go at it the way
or
they make them?
What do they call that? The
tartar sauce?
Tartar sauce?
Yeah.
No, I just take it however I get it, because if I tell them to change something, it's going to come out bad.
Yeah, you tell them to put less on, and then that means they put virtually none on.
Yes.
You can't give them direction.
And there's no, I don't know if there's quality control issues or what, but sometimes there's a lot of that, and sometimes there's just a little bit. They don't have like the same squirt every time.
Yeah.
Because it's human.
Human error.
It's somebody with one of those glue bottles filled with sauce, and they just squeeze it, and it goes on, and you get whatever you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and human error seems to only increase at McDonald's.
Yeah. The only way those Filet-O-Fish sandwiches can go wrong, because I don't mind too much of the tartar sauce, is when the bread isn't fresh.
Yeah, that's rough.
Right?
It's kind of stale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened from time to time, and I take it back, and they say, all right, well, here's 2 more. You don't have to pay for them.
Yeah, because they don't want to lose your valuable customership.
Yeah. You'll find that the McDonald's people are pretty cool. They'll just they'll give you your money back if you didn't enjoy your food.
Yeah, and a free large fry.
Yeah, all right, good. Now, joining us, it's Valentine's weekend, and this is all useful information. Joining us now is a counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist, author of the book Exaholics, Breaking Your Addiction to an Ex-Love, which is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com right now. Go take a look. Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby.
Hi, Phil. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Let's set up the conversation with the worst-case scenario, shall we?
Sure.
Valentine's Day is here, and you just went through a breakup. You have a few choices. Get over it, binge drink, and have a ton of rebound sex with total strangers, or curl up into a little ball and brood about it for months, hoping someday he or she will take you back. Which one of those are we talking about today?
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, Phil. There is this idea floating around that we should be able to just get over it and move on, that that's, quote, normal. What this book is all about is revolutionizing this idea. You know, it's changing the way we think about relationships and breakups, because what we understand is that falling in love is a biologically addictive process. Nature built you to bond. We are supposed to mate and form a very strong attachment with one irreplaceable other. And when these bonds are broken, we go into something that's very similar to withdrawal from substances. It involves obsessing about the ex, craving contact, and doing almost anything to reconnect with them.
So love causes some kind of chemical reaction in the brain?
Absolutely. Early stage romantic love has a lot in common with using cocaine. It stimulates the same parts of your brain, and it creates a similar impact, euphoria, excitement, craving to use it again. Whereas longer-term relationships have a lot in common, when you look at your brain structure, with opiate use. It creates feelings of tranquility, comfort, and a desire for contact. So your choices that you laid out, I would like to offer a third path, which is that you understand that what you're going through is actually a withdrawal response to an addiction that needs to be treated with a recovery process. You can't just get over this.
Okay.
You have to get into recovery.
We'll talk about that recovery in a moment, but I'm curious now, since you've set this up, this withdrawal process, to sound relatively normal. So that means if somebody is able to just walk away and get over it, they're probably sociopaths.
Yes, that is one option, is that they're sociopaths, and that's happened. I've met them, Phil. And
you've dated them.
What also means, is that it wasn't that strong of an attachment for that person.
That makes sense.
Or they did the work of disengaging emotionally before the relationship ended. That happens, too. In those cases, people can just walk away and be done with it.
Do you counsel people, Doctor, who continue to send text messages or call or send gifts or even stalk their ex for weeks, if not for months?
Well, you know, a desire to reconnect is a normal, natural part of this. People do cross a line. You know, when someone is telling you, I don't want to talk to you, stop contacting me, stop sending me things, and you keep doing it, that crosses a line into criminal stalking. It's illegal, and there is no excuse for it. However, I frequently work with people who are in this gray area. It's a purgatory. They're still connected, but they're not together, but they're talking to their ex, they're sleeping with them sometimes, but they're not, like, dating. It's extremely painful for people, and it can persist for years.
So, short of serving a restraining order, what's the process for recovery for that sort of person?
You know, step one is really educating yourself, understanding the love experience in a different way as a biologically based addiction, and understanding that you can develop an attachment to the wrong person. While this is normal, and if you develop an attachment or an addiction to Mr. or Miss Wright, it's wonderful. It's a love story that lasts a lifetime, but you can get addicted to the wrong person, and in that case, you have an unwanted attachment, just like to a substance. Understanding that, I think, empowers people to look at this a different way and understand that their continued attachment is problematic and that it needs to end. Then they can start the work of recovery. We advocate a 12-step model to help people move through that process.
Oh, okay, and we're going to get to that in a moment as well. Huh. And I suspect when you are one of those people who's dating somebody that's totally wrong for you, why is it we just don't listen to our friends? Because they were telling us that from the beginning.
You know, this is a biological process that happens at a level that is so elemental, so deep. It's in a part of your brain that is really much deeper and older than that of rational thought. So even if you know this person is bad news, it doesn't necessarily change the way you feel. And what usually happens is that people will let go of a friendship before they will let go of this deep attachment.
Speaking of friendship, does social media make things better or worse?
It makes it so much harder for people in the recovery process, because at no other time in history have we had access to more real-time information about what our exes are doing.
Oh, yeah.
And any contact with an ex, either in person or virtual, it really reinforces that addictive attachment.
So should you unfriend, stop following them, block them even, and their friends and family as well?
It's so hard for people to do, but that is what abstinence looks like. Unfriending, unfollowing. Consider using the new breakup feature that Facebook just rolled out, which when you use it will prevent anything having to do with this person from showing up in your timeline, because when it does, it's so triggering and the obsessions and cravings start all over again.
Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby, we have just a little time left, and I want you to tell me about exaholics.com, because I think maybe this speaks to that 12-step program you referenced earlier.
Mm-hmm. The heart of 2012-step self-help program is involvement with the group. And with this, it's even more important because you have to create connection. So at exaholics.com, we offer a free online support group of other people in recovery. They're available 24/7 to provide comfort, support, guidance. It's all there.
Do they tell you when it's okay to start dating again?
Well, that is something that oftentimes people rush into, and it's really just kicking the can down the road. You know, it's delaying the necessary work. Do the steps, grieve, let go of the anger, grow, learn, and you'll know when the time is really right, because you'll be at peace and eager to move forward, not just trying to escape the pain.
Exaholics.com. We'll link to it on our links page. The book is Exaholics, Breaking Your Addiction to an Ex-Love, authored by Dr. Lisa Marie Bobby. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
Now, what have you learned? Are you addicted to your ex? Do you call back all the time? Does she call you back all the time?
Yes, I have been through that phase. Yeah. I have been through that relationship phase, as many of us have. But yeah. I've also worked my way through it, much like the good doctor has informed us to do.
Yeah, good stuff right there. We're always trying to help you. And we're going to help you with something completely different. How to stop robocalls forever. That's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
We all hate robocalls, right? Do I get a right?
Heck yeah.
What do? You pick up the phone and yell at people?
Sometimes. Depends on what mood I'm in.
Do you ignore the incessant calls and the ringing? You know, I just quit answering my phone at one point. If it's somebody important, they can start talking on the answering machine and I'll pick it up if I'm available, right? But that was the old me. Now I use an ingenious and free service invented by our next guest, which blocks every robocall that comes to my house. His name is Aaron Foss, and he joins us live right now. Welcome back to the show, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You came up with this idea, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, and you won a contest, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. That's how this whole thing kind of got started. You know, the FTC, the people that we're relying on to protect us from these robocalls, basically threw up their arms and said, hey, we're not doing a good job. Can anybody out there do it? And we'll give you 50 grand if you can. They ran a contest. I won. And yeah, the rest is history.
Smart guy. So how does it work exactly?
Yeah, sure. So basically, we have a lot of technology on the back end that can go and detect these robocalls. So, you know, when it sees a lot of these calls coming in across a lot of different phone numbers, we have over 400,000 phone numbers users that we're protecting. So all of that data, it's very simple for the consumer to go and set up. Even over the last couple of years, it's gotten even easier, like Time Warner. Basically, go into your control panel, click a button, and you're protected from all of these illegal robocalls.
Does it work with all carriers?
Yeah, so it's only available on VoIP right now. So if you get your phone service through your cable company, not available on traditional landlines, not wireless yet. But within the next couple of weeks, I'm actually coming out with the mobile version, which has been kind of the number one request that that I've been getting over the
right.
last couple of years.
Yeah, so my phone line is a Verizon phone line, and I checked, and yes, they participate. So mine is good. And I can't tell you if it's VoIP or not. I have no idea. That's between the technicians and Verizon who set my thing up. I just know that the phone rings, I pick it up. Now, my mom, who gets a ton of robocalls, she's on AT&T. I tried to set her up, but it said no. In her case, they're not participating, so she does not get covered.
That's exactly – and listen, I've dealt with this for a long time. Like, most people don't know what they have, and when people say, you know, how does it work? Is it supported? The easiest way is, yeah, go to nomorerobo.com. If you see your carrier's logo, it works. If it doesn't, You got to wait.
And it's free, right?
Correct. It's free for consumers. And that's people always say, well, how are you making money?
Yeah, how are you making money?
It's the number one thing, right? Businesses usually need to make money. So we actually license the Blacklist to certain carriers. They pay us. We have a couple of corporate contracts where like call centers and things, and that they need to be protected from robocalls. So basically the businesses pay and the consumers get it for free.
And you've done all right with this.
It's been going absolutely fantastic. Again, yeah. A couple of years now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said that it couldn't be done. You know, going back a couple of years when we first talked, is it gonna block school closings? You know, police, reverse 911, all those kinds of things. I've kind of proven everybody wrong that it blocks the illegal ones, it lets the legal ones through, and I can make a lot of money with them.
And you've got a big house with a bunker and a nice car and a boat and all those things that come with, right?
You know what? This is the life of a startup. I'm still driving a 10-year-old Xterra that, So not yet. No, not yet.
All right. Gotcha. Now, as an inventor, how many things would you say you've invented so far? I mean, things that have they've stuck, basically. Well, here's a good idea, but then you make it and you say, nah, let's stick that on the shelf. I mean, real things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's funny too because my past is littered with failures. I will have to say that I probably have way more things that didn't work than actually did. It's funny. I teach entrepreneurship at a college here on Long Island, and when I work with students, you know, I ask them the same questions. A lot of students are a little bit hesitant to share their ideas. I give you an example, and I don't know if you guys remember this one. I invented it. It's called the Wing Dipper, which it's a cup for dipping buffalo wings in dressing, right? Usually they're round. This one kind of had like two little wings on the side, 3-ounce cup. Like I thought it was great. Everybody that saw it thought it was great. But the value that it brought to the world was just not enough to like make a dent in it. And that's the thing, right? I did that. I finally closed down the company a couple of years back, but listen, people, you know, restaurants bought it, but not any major amount of it. It took me about 6 years to realize that, you know, that really, not really the direction you should be going in.
Yeah, again, let it go.
Yeah, exactly. Conversely with Nomorobo, right? I fought this business at the beginning. I just really, I honestly wanted to take the 50 grand and go on vacation. And the business kept on like jumping its head up and people kept reaching out to me. And you know, then the senators called and said, well, you come, you know, be an expert witness. So this one, yeah, I just knew I needed to go and do that.
Yeah, it's your calling. But with all of your inventions, how many patents would you say you have now?
So I actually have 6. So I got 4 on the Nomorobo side, and then I have 2 on the Wing Dipper side. It's actually funny. And I've been before Nomorobo, I was one of these idea guys, and I would get all these ideas. I'd try out a whole bunch of different stuff, and then I literally have not had too many ideas that haven't been about robocalls. I've just been so super focused on solving this one problem.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, what would you say to somebody who has a good idea and they're confident it's a good idea? And let's say, you know, down the line, if it is built and manufactured and marketed, that yes, indeed, it is a good idea. So we could think ahead and buy into the enthusiasm of the inventor. So let's say somebody has an idea. What's your best advice for their first step?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing that I've gotten out of the is this a good idea game or not, I am always wrong, right? I love Wing Dipper. I think it's a great idea. It just didn't work, right? Robocall blocking, like, I don't know. Do people want this or anything? Like, so I basically tell people, first thing, because people want to know, yeah, is this a good idea? I have no idea, right? But I'll tell you how you can go and test it, right? And so the first step really is just to start talking to everybody about your idea. No joke, yesterday we had 3 students come in to this little center where, you know, we meet with students, we work with them on their projects. Literally 3 times they came in, said, I have an idea, said, well, what is it? They said, I can't share it with you. I can't tell you.
Oh.
We're like, well, then we can't help you. And he's like, well, you might steal my idea. Said, everybody here, we got enough stuff on our plate. It's just not going to happen. So, and we even said, like, point blank, if you're not willing to talk about your idea with everyone, you're not really going to go too far. Honestly, even with Nomorobo, so I win this competition. I go down to DC for the press conference. Somebody else also won. They picked 2 co-winners.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to him, and he didn't want anybody to steal his idea. He didn't want to tell anybody about it. Me, I'm on the radio with guys like you. I'm on Fox Business News that night, telling everybody exactly what I'm doing, how I'm going to do it. And honestly, I think that's what made it what made it successful.
Yeah, because now the word of mouth is getting out there. Now, do you worry, though? Oh, you go to bed after being on Fox Business and my show and all the other places, all the outlets, and everybody's buzzing about it. And you go to bed at night, you say, wow, I'm famous. Nomo Robo is famous. Oh, wait a minute. By tomorrow, somebody who's got much more resources than I will build this and rename it something else, and I'll be screwed.
Yeah, and you know what? Every single day, literally to this day, I can't believe that nobody else is doing that, right? Like, everybody knows, and again, I'm right here. I'm telling everybody how it's done. I'm showing my whole playbook and everything. I don't know why more people aren't doing this.
Now, when do you
love to have more competition?
When do you recommend somebody protect an idea with a patent or something like that?
Yeah, and you know what? It's a fine balance here, right? So actually, and a student came in yesterday, and he showed his idea, and it was a physical product that he had built a prototype. And the first thing I said to him was, I kind of looked around and was like, don't talk to a lot of people around this. And so there's actually some easier ways. Like, most people always think, oh, I got to go and, you know, spend $20,000 on a patent. Basically, there's something called a provisional patent, which you can work with some people to go and fill it out. And that basically it gives you a patent pending status. Uh-huh. It doesn't cost as much, and it basically gives you the confidence to talk to people about your idea, but you don't have to actually spend all the money, and you can really get out there and get some customer feedback.
Few hundred bucks, maybe?
It's literally like $150. You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
It really is. And again, the patent office has set it up for that. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, so many people come up with an idea. They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, they'll see like one of those invention commercials on TV. We'll help you. And we'll – like – A, you can do it yourself, and B, you really should, because these guys, you know what, they want to take your money, they don't want to help you out, and that's really what I would say.
What size of a piece of the pie do you have with Nomo Robo in the event you get to the point where you want to sell it?
Yeah, sure. So that's actually been really great too. On the, you know, I brought in investors at the right time. So, you know, there's various rounds of funding. So I'd raised a seed round a couple of years ago of $1 million, and now kind of kicking on all gears, raised another $1 million. So I still own a substantial amount of the company, and I have enough, you know, gas in the tank to run it.
Oh, you're going to be uber rich one of these days, and I know you.
I hope so.
NomoRobo.com, and just go over there and test your phone number and see if it qualifies, and you should just sign up. I mean, do it like I did. The phone rings half a ring, and it goes away. The robocallers don't get through anymore. And thanks to you for that, Aaron Foss, robocall slayer.
There you go.
And the link is on our links page. Go check it out and do it today. And thanks for being back on the show, and continued good luck to you. And if you invent something great other than something to dip my wings into, let me know, will you?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is, Aaron Foss. That's it for this hour of the show. Coming up, 10 gifts men actually want for Valentine's Day, and a whole lot more here in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Port Sacal Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour: what can you do when you're a sexy, sex-starved pop music singer and your hunky superstar football quarterback wants to abstain until marriage? We have the answer for you. America's definition of the perfect woman has changed, by the way. Sorry, blonde women. Manny the Movie Guy reviews the weekend's releases, and boy, do these movies look fun. And a whole lot more in this action-packed hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin is here. And Chris, we will start this hour with you.
Let's do it.
Boy, that big news about one of those enormous floating cities, one of those cruise ships, and the captain decided it would be okay to steer it right into 40-foot seas. Did you see that story?
I did. Yeah. I don't know if that's the captain's fault that happened. I think they underestimated the storm they were going through.
You know, it's their gig. They know how to do that. Maybe the home office was saying, turn it back, my Tookus. No, you're going to go straight through that thing and so that we can collect all that money.
Sure.
Instead, they had a rock and roll ride that nobody will ever forget, and then they had to give up a bunch of free tickets to all the folks in compensation. But just the same, the big ships, I mean, cruising... you know, short of going on a cruise where it goes into 40-foot seas or everybody gets sick, you know, with the hunter virus or the diarrhea or whatever it is that they get on those ships, it seems like everybody catches it. Yeah, all at once. That doesn't happen very often when you consider how many cruises go out there. So the odds are against you having a terrible time when you go on a cruise. It's just a wonderful way to vacation. Our executive producer, Mike Stark, does it pretty regularly.
He's an experienced cruiser.
Yeah, he's a cruiser. Look at that. When he's not on Whittier Boulevard, he's on a boat. But what's the most famous cruise line ship ever in history?
That would have to be the Titanic, Phil.
Yeah, probably so, huh?
And I think I just put an extra T in that word, but Titanic, yes, would be the most famous cruise liner ever. And if you felt like you've missed out on the experience of what it would be like to cruise around on the Titanic.
Before it sinks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now you're going to have the opportunity. We've talked before about the Titanic 2,
which
has been built.
Yeah.
And now photos have recently been released to the media, and the photos are eerie. It is an exact replica of the original boat, which did sink and killed many people back in 1912.
How long? How far along are they on the build of the Titanic 2?
Close to finish. Matter of fact, its maiden voyage has been pushed to 2018 mainly for safety regulations and really double, triple, and quadruple checking all of the construction and making sure that if something did go wrong, that it would be able to support everybody on board. But this ship is 13 foot wider than the original Titanic, but the length, height, and weight will be very similar to the original. It also has 9 decks like the original.
How about its ability to crush through icebergs?
It will probably be pretty proficient at that. I mean, if it ran into an icy situation, I imagine it'd be cut in the front to be able to do that. But to actually run into an iceberg and survive, it'll have more lifeboats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they made sure was implemented on this boat was
and our communication system has improved since Morse code, right? Yeah, because that's all they had back then was beep 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 dash dash dash.
Yeah, in today's day and age, you'd be able to send over an entire fleet of helicopters to pick everybody up individually.
No, the whole thing would be on Snapchat.
Yes, you'd know right away, just like that ship that was in the ocean and was getting tossed around by the waves. Everybody would know what was going on as it was going on. But I did want to share that this boat has first, second, and third class tickets, much like the original. Smoking rooms, a grand staircase, Turkish bath. That's Edwardian.
What's a Turkish bath? That's a steam room.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It must be. I don't know. Sell the word Turkish bath.
I haven't heard that in such a long time. I've forgotten what it is. All right, good.
Its maiden voyage is scheduled for 2018 and the ship is owned by an Australian businessman, and the boat costs between $300 and $400 million.
Instead of a first mate, they have a, you mate.
That's it, if it's Australian.
Yeah. All right, what do they serve at Burger King? Burgers, right?
Burgers, right.
Chicken sandwiches, fish sandwiches.
Yeah, I would argue that their fish sandwich is as good as McDonald's or maybe even better.
Would you? The BK fish.
BK fish is not very good.
It's a little bigger, isn't it?
It's been a while since I've had one, but it is bigger.
Oh, yeah.
They do everything bigger over there.
It's a little more crumbly crust on that one as opposed to the one at McDonald's.
Yeah, you get that little tiny white bread bun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have lettuce on theirs, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the little crumbles of green things that they say are actually...
Yeah, and I think it's like the sesame seed bun.
You know,
it's just better.
Yeah?
I'm throwing the gauntlet down. And Burger King is throwing the gauntlet down, no longer with burger wars. Now they're declaring war with hot dog vendors, Phil.
What?
Yep, starting February 23rd, Burger King will be offering grilled dogs as a part of their menu selection.
Oh, grilled. So they're not even going to boil them. They're going to grill them.
They're going to grill them. All their dogs are 100% all beef, served on baked buns.
Ugh.
Of course, you can customize them and have it your way, like Burger King always likes to say.
Yeah.
They offer two types, Phil. They offer classic flame-grilled dogs and chili cheese dogs.
Oh, God.
Flame-grilled, you could put, you know, all kinds of different condiments on it.
They're
relish,
speaking
mustard,
to me.
Deet, onions. Cheese. All that good stuff. According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, who are actually very close friends with this very show.
Yes, they are.
Americans eat 20 billion hot dogs per year, and Burger King, they want to get involved.
What does Wiener Schnitzel have to say about this?
They say, you bastards.
They serve burgers over at Wiener Schnitzel, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
With chili on them, right?
The chili cheeseburgers. Yeah.
So they threw the gauntlet a long time ago.
They did. And you know who Burger King's biggest competitor is?
No.
Sonic.
No,
Sonic.
Come
yeah,
on.
That's what they're saying. They're saying Sonic is Burger King's biggest competitor.
There are hardly any Sonics.
There's a few of them. I think in other parts. Over in Arizona, there's more of them than I see around here.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. One more thing, Phil.
Yeah.
Burger King just released a promotional commercial featuring Snoop Dogg.
Oh, that's going to nail it for
them. Snoop Doggy Dog.
Yes. Eat the dog.
That's
Snoop
it.
Dogg. All right, good. Now, the men, you know what you want for Valentine's Day. Yep. We're not sure your girlfriend or wife knows what you want for Valentine's Day. So we're going to help. And we're going to be very honest and clear about this. And in almost every case, what you really want for Valentine's Day is sex. In fact, a particular kind of sex that requires, I don't know. Good,
careful.
Let's say good dental work.
Careful.
But let me put it all together for you right here. Men, this is what we want. A couple's deep tissue massage, about an hour in a steam room, a nice cold beer, a medium rare porterhouse, a baked potato, mushroom salad dinner, and relax to an action movie of my choice, and sex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Does that pretty much cover it?
I don't think Valentine's Day gets any better than that.
All right. There you
for
go.
For a guy. And, by the way, pretty simple, right?
Nothing in a box that you have to unwrap and go shop for and all that kind of grief that you have to go through?
I'm sure there's some things. Like, if you showed up home and there was a brand new Coleman barbecue grill with
tools, right?
Tools.
What about a Darth Vader onesie?
I don't even know where you came up with that. That's so ridiculous. Darth Vader onesie?
Yeah, I don't know. Valentine's Day, I mean, it's a nice day, but it's stressful. It's because it only comes around once a year, right? So if every day was Valentine's Day-like, we'd get into the romantic flow and everything would just be great, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Relationship experts will teach you how to have a juicy Valentine's Day all year long, right here on this show, next, Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Port Sakal Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We all want to have romantic, fresh, and entertaining relationships with our significant others, right? And we want it to be that way every day. But things creep in. Arguments, disappointment. Disappointment about Valentine's Day, usually, right? How can you level things off and make Valentine's Day happen all year long? Joining us is certified relationship coach, Carrie Valentine. Yep, that's his real name.
Appropriately named.
Yep. And along with his wife, Wendy, they co-authored the book, In Love Forever, Seven Secrets to a Joyous, you say that, joyous, there you go, juicy relationship. In Love Forever, Seven Secrets to a Joyous, Juicy Relationship. The book's available in the store right now at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go get it. Carrie, hello, and is Wendy there with you?
Aloha, Phil.
Oh, you're in Hawaii.
Leon.
Yeah, all right. And now, how about Wendy? Is she there with you?
Yes. Okay. So, the unfortunate story about that, Phil, is Wendy passed on a few years ago from a brain tumor.
I did not know that. Why didn't I know that? I am so sorry.
Otherwise, she's here definitely in spirit.
Yes.
You know, we lived out and wrote this book together, and that was definitely something she wanted to carry on.
All right.
Doing that.
My sympathies, but I appreciate the love from beyond. I can certainly understand
exactly.
that. And I have some advice for you. Fire your PR person.
Why's that?
Because I hadn't a clue until you said.
Okay.
All right. Now, now that you're here, we're past the messy part of the conversation. Let's move on.
And I'll just say this too, Phil. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
You know, it was very intense and, you know, very deeply grieving for me when she did pass. But actually, the things we had a very intimate relationship, and you know, we learned to talk, and you know, like you're talking about, how to keep Valentine's Day alive.
Yeah.
You know, even in her death and her passing, we talked about the fears, the challenges, and the joys of our relationship. It brought us closer, even though it was a very painful time for us both. And I learned from that, Phil, that life is very precious.
Yeah. You know what? And thanks for that, because now you've made me feel a great deal better, because I was feeling awful at the start. Now, define juicy for me.
Yeah, lively, you know, connection, you know, that fire, the sparks going off. And yeah, you know, it can also mean the physical, sensual connection. But I see it more as this effervescence, you know, Phil, this joie de vivre. And to have this every day. And, you know, I'm a wedding officiant as well, and I did a wedding here in Hawaii yesterday, and this young couple, and it was so beautiful to do this with their family. And, you know, I thought about this, like, how many people get married to plan to get to divorced, you know?
Yeah, like, nobody does.
Probably nobody.
Yeah.
And yet the statistics are overwhelmingly very challenging, that over 50% of marriages in this country get divorced, and second and third marriages are even worse. So.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that most people want to have a loving, juicy relationship and life together, but most don't know how to do it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And for this reason, there are 365 days in a year, each with new challenges, distractions, decisions, illness, injury, natural disasters, malfunctions. All of these things impact our romantic focus on each other. So when you say all year long we can do this, I say, really?
Yeah, I do say really.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm saying it with a question mark. Really?
I hear you. But, you know, it takes work for sure. But it also takes work to have a miserable relationship. So what do you want?
Well, I don't want misery, that's for sure.
Right? So people don't realize that most of the time. Like, you know, yes, the fire generally after some time wanes away. And, yes, we need to keep, you know, brewing that fire.
Yeah. Well, give us some pointers. Where do we start? Where's the best place to begin?
You bet. I would say the biggest piece, you know, one piece here is to the secret of all secrets is to have no secrets.
Oh.
And what I mean by that, Phil, is to share with your partner or your significant other your fears, your doubts, your insecurities, as well as your dreams, your desires, your goals. And learn to, you know, communicate them better. Dare to kind of roast yourself. Because when you do that with your partner, there's going to be a sense of trust and connection. And I say, like, snuggle up to the challenges.
Yeah.
You two can work it out together rather than hold it in. And then what happens is, like, there's day by day, this little slow drip of, like, the coffee maker, the energy dissipates.
Yeah, I know.
Is that right?
It makes a lot of sense, especially if you got things rolling that way from the beginning. But well, let's say you're 10, 15, 20 years in.
Yeah.
And can you roll things back in the honesty department and
totally.
Sit down and say, okay, let's talk about everything that we haven't talked about for the last 10, 15 years? You might get the epic battle of a lifetime, and if you don't kill each other, can you survive all that honesty?
You just said something so powerful, because that really is the essence of how this book came about for Wendy and myself. we were into our marriage 13 years, great relationship, great friends, and all of a sudden we hit the wall. Like, out of nowhere, we were on like the brink of divorce. Then we took much deeper look into our relationship and with ourselves and realized we had built up our own, for years, you know, fears and doubts and insecurities. And then we worked it. And, you know, we desired to rebuild the relationship because we cared so much for each other. We're like, we don't want this, you know, to happen. And so out of that came communication skills and tools and, you know, much deeper ways to create that intimacy into me, you see, you know. And but it does happen, you know, for sure. It reminds me, too, of a couple I met recently, you know, Scott and Susan from Southern California. On the outside, their life looked great, you know. They're a good-looking couple, nice house, nice job, nice kids. But what was going on for years, just like you said, they lost the spark years ago. Mm-hmm. And Scott was sleeping on the couch a lot. Yeah. And I met them kind of after Scott admitted to Susan that he had an affair. And, you know, it was very intense, the loss of trust from Susan, you know, to Scott. But we started talking about what happened. How did this get there? And they learned the, like, communication skills in my book. And they got out their anger. They got out their frustration. They got to be more intimate and honest with each other. And through that, slowly but surely, the connection re-sparked. And now they're juicier than ever.
Yeah.
So it is possible no matter what. It's just how much you want.
Yeah, you mentioned the couch, sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the guys want to avoid this at any cost. So what happens when somebody screws up? All right, let me rephrase that. What happens when the guy screws up? And the woman is upset. She's clearly upset with something, and you're not exactly sure what it is. But the thing is, you want to get to resolution as quickly as possible. That's our job, is to keep the woman happy. So how do you resolve that quickly and get back to the juiciness?
You bet. Well, you know, it is a matter of being honest, and it isn't going to be pretty.
But honestly, I was right.
But, yeah, you got it, Phil. But the thing is, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
More than likely, there's a reason why that happened. And, you know, guys, I'll just say it like it is, there's a connection we feel that turns on our hearts, literally, by our physical connection with our partners.
Yeah.
And oftentimes women forget that, or they lose sight of the physical connection is so important. That's a key. So women out there, if you're out, you know, for a dinner date with your husband or your partner and he's checking out the waitress, don't get angry with him. Put your hand on him. If you notice his eyes checking that woman out, put your hand on him, go, honey, there's something I'm not, you know, offering to you. Is there something missing? Like, get in there, you know, and rekindle it, because it's good for both. Because from that spark, that deep connection of intimacy emotionally,
yep,
will then spark open the physical connection, which will then inspire them both for their life, their work, their creation, inspiration, and their family.
So when the guy least expects it, ladies, just walk up and rub up against him.
Yeah, baby. And guys, make and go, you know, when your wife least expects it, go clean the house.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, and it's a little different.
Women,
we don't walk up. I mean, for us, we're groping. We're being dirty old men, you know, but maybe a quiet kiss on the neck or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Like foreplay starts 2 days before, a day before the actual experience happens. Mm-hmm. Make coffee for each other. Send sweet texts to each other. Leave funny notes in their underwear or in the car. You know, this is how we keep it alive, Phil.
Your book is necessary. It's called In Love Forever, 7 Secrets to a Joyous, Juicy Relationship. Wow. I mean, just hearing you talk, you are the... you're the living Cupid, aren't you?
you're very kind, Phil. I just, I got out of my shell and just said, you know, I'm just a passionate guy. I'm not going to be afraid anymore to share about love, because to me, this is what we're all living for, truly, to, right? To feel that love in our hearts, that spark and that passion, no matter what we do.
Yeah. Send my regards to your publicist, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you, sir.
You got it.
All right.
And go Anaheim Ducks. I'm the cheer, the announcer there, and one day I'll check you guys out.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for that, and I hope they have the big wave competition here real soon there.
Yes, certainly. Okay, share one other thing about, like people can get a free, awesome relationship report. Is that all right?
Yes, go for it now. You got about 30 seconds to do it.
Got it. So on my website, carrievalentine.net, for couples and singles, can get a fun, helpful questionnaire that's either going to, you know, give great insight to improve your relationship or get ready for one.
Ah.
So you can go there and just sign up and get it.
We'll put you on our links page, so it'd make it easy for people. And thank you so much, Carrie Valentine. I appreciate the time you spent with us.
Thank you so much, Phil, for having me on. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Appreciate an awesome Valentine.
Oh, yes, of course. Better now that you helped us.
You betcha. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, so it's a big weekend for movies. You know what's coming out?
I do, yeah.
Yeah?
I know everything that's coming out.
Oh, yeah, because it's a good weekend for movies.
I follow entertainment.
And that's why every week we talk to Manny the Movie Guy, because he's seen them all. He has an opinion about all of them, and he's going to let you know what to see next. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who is so huge, the provincial barriers of his hometown TV station cannot stop him from branching out and touching the world. It's KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. No one can stop me because I'm so huge, literally. Like a boulder.
And at the same time, very svelte.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm a conundrum.
Yeah, you know, we have a great little package of fun movies this weekend, don't we?
We do. We have Deadpool, we have Zoolander 2, and we have How to Be Single. Everyone will be served.
Yes. Where do we start? How to Be Single?
Sure. Let's start with How to Be Single. I had a great time interviewing the cast. I am now a big, big, big fan of Rebel Wilson, because not only is she a scene stealer, I mean, think of all the movies she's done, and you remember her from each and every one of those films. She's also very sweet in person, and I love her for that.
Did you interview her and put that video on your website, MannyTheMovieGuy.com?
I did. I interviewed Dakota Johnson, Leslie Mann. Actually, we treated our KMIR viewers last Wednesday for an advanced exclusive screening of How to Be Single, and everyone clapped. And why not? How to Be Single is funny. And Dakota Johnson, all is forgiven for 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh.
She actually has a good comedic timing. Now, there are four single ladies living in New York in the movie. Johnson is the lead. She is Lucy. She just broke up with her boyfriend to find her place in the sun. Her sister, played by Leslie Mann, also single, forgot to find her place in the sun because she's into her career. She's a baby doctor. We also have Allison Brie as Lucy, her secret to finding a man through statistics and research. And then we have the funny Rebel Wilson as Robin, and she loves being single. Now, from director Christian Ditter, How to Be Single is a unique romantic comedy. You have the stereotype characters, you know, you have the four. You can identify with any of those four if you're a woman or, you know, a man.
Last I checked.
Because they're kind of sort of stereotypical, but the stereotype ends there. You won't be able to predict the outcome. So I enjoyed it. This one's fresh and hilarious and also raunchy with an R rating. So beware.
Okay, very good. Oh, by the way, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, that little comment you made that all is forgiven. It's impossible. We could forgive, but it's impossible to forget. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Well, you know what? And here's the thing. I mean, there are two more 50 Shades of Grey coming up.
Oh, gosh.
Get ready.
You know, I can just wrap my cat in duct tape, and it's basically the same movie.
It for 2 hours.
Yeah, right, exactly. Cats are more fun to watch. I'm not going to wrap my cat in duct. I don't even own a cat. Fine. Now, Deadpool. The trailers look spectacularly fun and funny and exciting. Is it all that the trailers purport it to be?
All of the above. You're one. Yeah. Whoever did the marketing people behind Deadpool from 20th Century Fox know what they're doing. But I know what you're thinking. Yet another superhero movie. This year alone, we have Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Captain America: Civil War, X-Men: Apocalypse. They're all coming up, and they're all marquee names. But Deadpool. But rest assured, though, like what you said, this film is irreverent, funny, and action-packed, even though the plot may be just a little over the top. Oh, and parents, beware. Deadpool is rated R. It's also raunchy with violence and nudity to boot. For a superhero movie, that's kind of fun.
Nudity to boot. I love that band.
It's like an immature movie made for mature audiences.
All right.
From the gripping opening scene to the ending, and yes, there are some secret, if you know Marvel by now, there are some secret post-credits scenes. And notice how I said scenes. There's a couple of end credits that you have to see. Now, Ryan, here's the plot. Ryan Reynolds is the star of the movie, and boy, oh boy, does he shine. He's back in the role he originated in X-Men Origins Wolverine, but this one is more true to the character. He's Wade Wilson, who gets diagnosed with cancer, so he undergoes a mysterious treatment that leaves him badly scarred. Now he wants revenge. Now, Deadpool is an entertaining action flick that's made for grown-ups. There are many jarring, looking at the camera, wink-wink, nudge-nudge scenes. You know what I'm talking about? The who stole the cookie from the cookie jar look?
Oh, yeah, sure.
There's a lot of those. There's even a wink-wink, nudge-nudge to Ferris Bueller, by the way.
No kidding.
But you know what? In this movie, it works because it's self-referential. You know, they're making a parody of pretty much the superhero genre and of Marvel.
Mm. All right, so, well, maybe.
And X-Men fans, you may be happy to know that Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead appear on the film. Say that five times.
Oh, I'm not even going to try. Goodness.
So there you go. So Deadpool, I'm also recommending.
All right. I don't hold out a lot of hope that Zoolander 2 is going to be nearly as funny as Zoolander 1.
Well, did you enjoy the first one?
Yes, I did.
Well, if you enjoyed the first movie, well, this one's for you. But if you could care less about the original, then you will hate the sequel even more. Now, Ben Stiller returns as Derek Zoolander, the beloved model. This time, the actor also directs the sequel. Owen Wilson is also back as Zoolander's rival turned partner, Hansel. But will the audience return for part two as well? Now, look, the first movie was funny, and the fashion world was certainly ripe for satire. The first film, opening just a few months after 9/11, didn't succeed at the box office, but it found a cult following on DVD. But honestly, that 15 years or so, it felt, now watching the film with Stiller's star shining not as bright as it once was, you will notice a certain feeling of desperation.
Yeah, well, putting Justin Bieber in a movie sounds desperate to me. Let me ask you this, Manny. Can you explain Owen Wilson's nose to me?
I know, right? You know, when I interview him, it's kind of like a, yeah, it's crooked.
You have to try to look away, don't you? There's like a little baby's butt on the end of it.
Or it looks painful. Like it's, you know what I mean?
His brother doesn't have that nose.
No.
Was Owen in an accident, a disfiguring accident?
Probably.
You think he was?
Just like Deadpool.
You'll have to ask him next time. You know, you ask Owen Wilson that question. Owen, did you have a disfiguring nose accident when you were a child? You ask that question,
God.
It's going to go viral. You'll be huger
right.
than you are now.
And then I will be blocked by studios.
You don't want that. You have to play nice, I know.
But it's funny that you mentioned Justin Bieber, because really his appearance is only one of the many celebrity cameos in the film. Of course, there's also Will Ferrell as the evil fashion connoisseur Mugatu, and his partner in crime, the always game Kristen Wiig. But wait, there's more! You also spot Willie Nelson, Kiefer Sutherland, and yep, even Susan Boyle.
Isn't Kim Kardashian in there for a moment?
Kim Kardashian West.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Forget the West.
Yeah. Oh, is Kanye in the movie, too?
Yeah, mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Now, some jokes worked, but most fell flat. This one is uninspired, but at least the pace is fast and furious, like a mad model walking the runway. So this one, just pretty much just wait for it on DVD. You know, I may be wrong, the Zoolander 2 may also develop another cult following when it goes out on DVD, so we'll see.
All right, we will, and we will visit MannyTheMovieGuy.com often and look at all of your videos with the casts of many, many movies. It's so entertaining, and so entertaining to speak to you every week, Manny. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a lovely weekend. Next week, we'll talk about Race.
Oh.
The Jesse Owens movie.
Oh, well, that kind of, all right, I got you. It probably works in both definitions.
Right.
Manny, thanks again.
Thank you.
And there he goes.
He's the man.
Yes, he is. Manny.
He knows his stuff.
TheMovieGuy.com. Go visit the website. All right, we still have some stories to knock out with the time that we have remaining here, including, you know who Ciara is? Ciara. Is that how she says her name?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I certainly know who she is, yes.
Oh. You looking at pictures of her right now?
I am. Yep.
She's a good-looking young lady, isn't
very
she?
Very pretty.
She's got a famous boyfriend?
She sure does.
They're probably
famous in the sports world.
Yeah. And they're having a famous time in the bedroom, I bet, huh?
Well, you're going to have to wait to find out, aren't you?
That's next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I have some Valentine's Day stats here for you, Chris.
Bring them on.
Men spend twice as much on Valentine's Day gifts as women. Men spend $133.61 on average. Women spend $62.14.
Well, that doesn't sound very equal.
No, not that it necessarily has to be. 19% of people buy a Valentine's Day gift for their pets. And even weirder, 10.8% buy one for a coworker.
The pets one is weirder than the coworker, isn't it?
It is. But still, I mean, coworker who's unsuspecting.
Yeah, I suppose. I say coworker's probably not all that weird because back in the day we used to give Valentines to each other in school. We were actually encouraged to do that.
But there's always the guy that walks around with the bag of candies and drops them on everybody's desk, right?
That's what I'm assuming.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nah, that's all good, you know?
Yeah,
just a little something to say, hey, thinking about you, here's some candy. Now, if you drop, you know, like some lingerie or something on their desk unsuspectingly, and, hey, just thinking about you on Valentine's.
So who brought this Victoria's Secret box? Who's that?
A scented candle.
It's from George in IT? What?
Some chocolate.
Yeah. Only one in five couples will have sex on Valentine's Day. Only one in five.
Oh, that's sad.
Top reason, not being in the mood, being too tired, not celebrating the holiday, getting too full at dinner, or falling asleep.
Yeah, that goes back to our previous guest who was telling us about Valentine's relationships, too. I mean, sometimes, look, you've been in a relationship a long time.
Yeah.
There are going to be fireworks every night.
More random stuff. Single men are more likely to lie about having Valentine's Day plans than single women. About one in four men say they've got something going on when they really don't, versus one in six women. 15% of people have cooked naked. I think that's a Valentine's Day. Is that a Valentine's Day stat? Maybe not.
Hope it wasn't bacon.
Let's see, what else do I have? One in three single people is planning to go to dinner with their friends or family on Valentine's Day. Only 4% of people think you should spend more than $10,000 on an engagement ring. 36% think you should spend less than $1,000. Isn't the rule you're supposed to spend three paychecks?
Yeah, something along those lines, or 1 month.
And 23% of people say they don't go on vacation with their ex, but only if the other person paid for it. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let me say this right. 23% of people say they would go on a vacation with their ex, but only if the other person paid for it. And that goes back to our first interview today.
Right. You're not supposed to do that.
Cut it off. Get over your ex altogether.
And let's see. No, that's all I've got.
Do you know what percentage of people don't know when Valentine's Day is? Because that's a category that I fall into.
1%.
It's February 14th, right?
That's right.
And
it's always
today
on the 14th.
Is the 11th. So
it's Sunday.
Make it Monday.
Sunday?
No.
Today's
Friday.
Friday. That means the 12th.
12th. 13th.
So it would be today's the 12th.
Oh, you know what? The calendar on my little computer here
you
is
are
off by
you
a
are
day.
So not romantic.
Go figure. It lands on a Sunday. How perfect is that for all you lovers out there? Sunday is a perfect day to have Valentine's Day.
It's work day tomorrow. We better get to bed early.
No, it's a relaxing day.
It's a holiday on
the
Monday.
The Sabbath. Oh, is it?
Monday's
President's
holiday.
Day, huh?
Yeah. So you could stay up late and sleep in.
Even better.
Yeah.
Boy, all you guys lucked out.
Weren't the first three presidents really romantic? Honey, let's talk about the presidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that Washington and his wooden teeth?
You know what's romantic is some of the celebrity couples that are out there. Very often the superstar athletes will have supermodels for girlfriends, right? Mm-hmm. Every now and then. But, you know, it's like it's for us normal-looking people. Oh, supermodels. There's like 100,000 of them, right? But you find somebody with some talent beyond just looking pretty, somebody who can sing, who can dance, who has something to bring to the table and is gorgeous at the same time. Now you're talking. And there's a celebrity couple out there that has made some headlines about what they are actually not doing. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, that's right. Russell Wilson, who's a quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, and Ciara, who is a singer. You might remember her classic jingle, My Goodies.
Is that a Christmas song?
No, it's not a Christmas song.
No?
That's not the kind of goodies she's referring to.
All right.
Ciara, the singer who's in this relationship, has publicly admitted that she is struggling with abstaining from sex with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It's tough on her, Phil.
I guess, is it?
Wilson has revealed that God told him to wait until marriage to have sex, and Ciara has agreed to the terms.
Wow. Now he's a strict religious guy. Is she similarly religious?
I think that she would fall into that category of being in the process of being born again.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, she's going down the religious road. In the past, I think that her ex-husband, who she has a kid with, is a rapper. Doesn't sound like a very religious guy. I can't remember the guy's name.
So at the church bingo night, they won't ask her to come up and perform Jingle My Goodies.
No, she's probably not going to be singing that song. But I bet she does have a decent set of pipes, and when I say that, I mean she's a good singer, so maybe she can get into some of that church music, some of that choir music. She does say it's difficult to resist temptation, so they don't get much past kissing and often has to look away from Russell because he is so beautiful.
Oh, man. Well, she's not hard to look at all.
No, she's beautiful also. They're a beautiful couple. It is interesting, this idea of abstaining from sex when you're in a relationship until marriage. Mm-hmm. And, I guess on some level, you have to admire the people that are willing to put themselves through that.
Yeah.
And you on know what another, some, you have you to know, question whether or not something like that's really necessary.
You know what sub-couples do, since they, during the lead up to their nuptials, when they're dating, the early days, it's like binge sex, right? I mean, couples who are really into each other are going to be just really into each other physically as well.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of that out of your system. But what a lot of couples do is they put the brakes on that for a period of time before they get married so that the sex on their wedding night will be special.
Yeah, and I think that's another approach towards abstinence that also works. Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Some folks aren't stroking at all. But what I will say is that, you got to figure it out for yourself. A lot of people would argue that if you don't find out whether you're sexually compatible before you get married, you might be in for a different type of disappointment.
Mm-hmm. All right. We were talking about coworkers there a moment ago. According to a new survey at Career Builder, the most common way relationships at work start is at a late night at the office.
Hmm.
Also, 37% of us have dated a coworker. 33% of office romances lead to marriage, and 17% involve someone who's already married. That's when you come on to the boss, usually.
You never go fishing off the company pier, Phil.
Yeah,
that's a rule.
Don't think it's a good idea. Yeah. Here's another study. New study found that if a guy buys you a cheap Valentine's gift, it's a sign he's really into you.
Okay, you're going to have to work real hard to convince women of that.
It's because he thinks of you as a unit. So he got a gift that also benefited him. So he, like you and he together are one unit. So he got you one of the, what do they call those, bouncy gift? No, what's a gift that you buy that is good for both of you? There's a name for it. Anyway, so when he bought something cheap, you benefit because you got a gift, and he benefits by saving money.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a unit, it benefited both of you.
Yeah, sounds like you're reaching.
Okay.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, you're right. There probably are women but that would be in a joint account situation, right? Like, our money is our money, so we're saving
our
money.
Well, see, with my lovely wife, Remy, you know, if I spend a lot of money on a gift, she'll appreciate it, but then she'll immediately go for, wait a minute, you spent way too much money.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Your lovely wife, Remy, when you guys were dating, mm-hmm. did she have that same sense of frugality concerning your money? Probably not.
Come to think of it, I think before we got married, maybe not as much. But once it became our money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when it's your money, yeah. you should uh-huh. express your love in,
right.
you know, higher octaves.
Yeah.
If that's the appropriate term for it.
Higher octaves.
Yeah. Higher octaves of cash.
You get a little pitchy. The best thing you can say online dating, the best thing you can say in online dating is ha-ha or LOL. And that increases your chances of getting your numbers, their number by somebody's phone number by 17%. The worst thing you can say when you're online dating and you're in a chat is sorry.
Yeah.
That decreases your chance of getting their number by 56%.
Apologizing in general is not real good for you.
Survey found that the perfect woman last year was skinny with blonde hair and blue eyes. The same survey this year found the perfect woman has dark brown hair, brown eyes, about 5'9", has an athletic body, and is Jewish.
So who is that? Did they relate that to anybody we can think of in our mind's eye?
You're going to just have to go out and find her.
Sounds like Mila Kunis.
Oh, is she 5'9"?
Sarah
Silverman. Yeah. Well, I don't know. That could be it. Hey, the music means it's the end of the program, and we thank you for being along for the ride. If you have a comment, go to the website, click contact. You could fill out the form. We're on Twitter at Pfaff Show. We're on Facebook, of course. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who's making plans for Valentine's Day, apparently, right now. For Chris and for all the friends, I'm Phil. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.